Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Yes, I know it says Justice Minister Andrew Little at the sting, but we have Finance Minister Grant Robertson for the second week running for our weekly Labor Party chat. This week, we talked about testing for for border control workers, managed isolation, extensions to the wage subsidy, and his charity monopoly game with National's finance spokesperson Paul Goldsmith. But first, I asked about his thoughts on the Prime Minister's decision on Monday to delay the election.
Oh, look, I think that was the right decision. Obviously, given the restrictions that have gone in place in Auckland at level 3 and then the rest of the country at level 2, these are scheduled to be lifted next Wednesday. That was a significant part of the campaign period that was taken up, and I think rightly the government's focus is on making sure we get on top of this resurgence in the virus. And so I think when you put all of those things together to get a fair election and one that New Zealanders can engage in and participate in, I think the delay was inevitable. Then the question was how much of a delay did the Electoral Commission need, and what they made clear was that perhaps a two-week delay, for example, which would have matched the amount of time we hoped to be in level 3 in Auckland, wasn't possible for them. They needed effectively a whole month to reorganise everything. So once we worked our way through that, the Prime Minister came to her decision that the 17th of October was the right date.
Has this affected Labor's campaign in any sort?
Yes, it has, in the sense that we suspended our campaign when we went into the level 3 restrictions in Auckland. Obviously, for our Auckland-based candidates, it's pretty much impossible to campaign at the moment, and so we have actually just pulled back from that. What it means is now, as we reset ourselves, and we'll, in the rest of the country, we'll be getting into our campaigning again very soon. I think everybody's had to shift lots of dates of meetings and events and announcements, and so we've had to do all of those things, and that has made for a number of changes. But obviously, as we get back into the swing of things in the next few weeks, people will see us back campaigning again, but it has caused a disruption for everybody in the election campaign.
Green Party co-leader James Shaw has said this election delay is purely political. What are your comments on this?
Oh, look, I think we heard a lot of different views from political parties about why they either did or didn't want the election date moved. In the end, those things didn't influence the Prime Minister. She made very clear, as the person who gets to set the election date in our system, that she simply weighed up everybody's different views, looked at what would be fair, and came to her decision. Different political parties will have different views about whether it advantages them or not. That's not the basis that the Prime Minister made the decision on. I do think, had Labor been a long way behind in the polls, I would have been interested to know what the opposition parties would have made of the delay then. But that's not the circumstances we're in, and I know that the Prime Minister was simply looking for a date that would give a fair election that everybody could participate in.
Right. Now Parliament has reconvened. What can we expect from Parliament? Any new businesses?
No. So what we've agreed, the Business Committee, which is made up of all of the different parties in Parliament, has agreed a schedule for these 2 weeks. It consists of question time, a general debate, as we had yesterday on Wednesday, and then any notices of motion that are required to enact the orders, the public health orders that manage the alert level restrictions. That is the only business that we've agreed to. So there'll be no legislation or other bills put forward. We had completed the business we had scheduled for the term, and so there's no need to do that. And so we're only meeting on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, so today there won't be a meeting.
Moving on from Parliament to other stuff, mainly the biggest issue right now, it's border testing. So news came out earlier this week that it shows border staff, not all border staff are being tested. So why wasn't that mandatory?
Well, initially we made that expectation very, very clear to our health officials that we wanted the staff to be cleared in June and July. A testing plan was developed by the government, and it clearly stated
their border staff were to be tested. Officials were continuing to advise the government that that program was getting underway and it was ramping up. But obviously it's become clear that it had not gone to the extent that was our expectation. That has now happened. We must be close to 100%. It was 97% of border staff had been tested the other day, and so we are now doing that. But clearly there was an expectation from the government that was not met. No doubt in the future we'll come to exactly how that occurred, but the most important thing at the moment is to make sure that all of those staff are tested. There was testing happening, it's just it wasn't happening to the extent we wanted. And I do think it's important to remember that at the same time, we've had about 38,000 people go through our managed isolation and quarantine facilities, and with the one exception of the case at the Ridges Hotel at the moment, that's been managed carefully and we haven't seen any evidence of a spread as a result of what's happened at our border facilities. So they've largely been well run and well managed, but in this particular situation of the testing of the staff, it didn't meet our expectations, but it is now.
The Ministry of Health and the government said there is miscommunication, but to be frankly, there is no documents that can prove that. So will these documents be available anytime soon for the public to decide?
I'm sure all of the material that we deal with as part of our response to COVID-19 is part of our release, either proactively or through official information requests, and that gets released subject to the normal provisions around commercial sensitivity and privacy and so on. So yes, I'm sure the appropriate material will get released. But it is clear that in the testing strategy that the government laid out, we had an expectation around the testing of border staff. Communication carried on through that time with ministers and with the officials, but obviously the expectation that ministers had wasn't occurring. No doubt we could spend a lot of time working through exactly why that was, but the most important thing by far is that we now have the testing of border staff underway. And also, to be clear, that every single border staff member coming to work each day was temperature tested at the managed isolation facilities. There were health checks. And so, you know, there were other lines of defence there, but clearly this particular one didn't meet the expectations of ministers.
Epidemiologist Professor Michael Baker told Radio New Zealand this morning that there needs to be a public inquiry into New Zealand's response on COVID-19. What do you think?
I'm absolutely sure there will be an inquiry. I mean, this is an historic event. It's a 1 in 100 year event in many ways relative to other health shocks that we've seen, and certainly economic ones as well. So yes, I'm convinced there will be. I think right at the moment the resources of government are best placed on making sure we get the job done of getting on top of this resurgence and continuing to roll out our public health response. We've brought in some additional support around those issues of testing just to make sure we do that right at the border. And so, you know, we're doing all of those things. But I think right now, if we were to launch into a fully fledged inquiry, it would be a distraction to the people who've got a job to do at the moment. But I'm absolutely sure at a time in the future there will be an inquiry.
Right. Moving on to the extended wage subsidy. Now, mortgage deferments has been extended to March next year, while the wage subsidy itself has been extended by 2 weeks. So my question is, why only 2 weeks? Why not a little bit longer?
Oh, that's the length of time that we have made the call around the level 3 restrictions. And we have said if those get rolled over further in Auckland, then there would be further wage subsidy support. But our hope and expectation is that we'll be able to lift those restrictions next week. So we wanted to make it proportionate to that. The wage subsidy scheme is a very broad-based scheme. It's available to a lot of businesses. It's expected to support around 900,000 jobs in total between the extension that we already have plus this further 2 weeks. So if you put all of that together, it's a big scheme, and therefore we think it's appropriate for it to run for those 2 weeks. In terms of the mortgage deferral scheme, that's in the hands of the Reserve Bank and the trading banks. It's a significantly reduced number of people involved, but also amounts to effectively a delay in payments rather than, you know, not having them at all. And so it's quite a different thing than the wage subsidy scheme, which is obviously, you know, a multi-billion dollar payment scheme.
And the threshold for businesses to apply for the wage subsidy is they have to prove that their revenue loss is more than 40%. Do you think it's too high?
Oh, look, I think that's the figure that we've been using for the wage subsidy extension, the scheme that started in June. And so what we wanted to do was be consistent with that. That means it's clear and there's some certainty for businesses. It's also administratively easier because any changes that we made to the wage subsidy scheme would have delayed our ability to get support out, and people will be able to apply from the end of this week for this new scheme. So we wanted to go with consistency, and I think for this period of time, particularly those people in Auckland, you know, those who are most affected will definitely be able to meet that criteria. And around the country, other businesses that are really reliant on Auckland will be able to as well. It is important to remember that this is money the government is borrowing to support businesses. So we've got to be careful with the way we put it out. We've got to get a balance right between getting the money to people who need it and making sure that we manage our finances overall carefully. So for me, 40% felt like the right balance.
What about other non-businesses that are crucial to support people during this hard period of time? Now, I saw there are at least 29 food banks in Auckland operating during level 3. Is the government going to have any financial assistance for them?
In fact, yes, and we are already rolling that out. We've got more than $30 million worth of support going to food banks, food rescue services as well, which, you know, are the ones who get the food from supermarkets and cafes and so on that they don't use. So we've actually put a significant amount of resource in to support those who are providing emergency services. Obviously, there are still support and grants available from the Ministry of Social Development as well, including food grants from them too. So we have put that extra money in, and I'm confident that the services that we're working with in the Auckland region are going to be delivering those that really necessary and important help for people in this restricted period.
My final question for today, it's kind of like a little bit of light relief. So you're going to have a Monopoly game with National's financial spokesperson Paul Goldsmith. So what is this about?
Yes, so this is a fundraiser for the Cancer Society, and they asked Paul and I to participate in that, and it's a great cause, and so I was very happy to agree. I haven't played Monopoly since I was a child, so I'm going to need to get some lessons from some people who know a bit more about it than me. I'm looking forward to the game and looking forward to deploying my strategy. I've already said to Paul that I know that he won't be interested in owning any of the railway stations or the electricity utilities, so they'll be available for me. But I'm sure it'll be a fun night, and it's a really good cause. So people can go on to Trade Me and bid to be the other players in the game with us, and that'll raise a lot of money, I hope, for the Cancer Society.
Paul Goldsmith said his Monopoly strategy is to buy all the properties first. Is this your approach as well?
Oh, I don't want to give away all of my tactics, but as I say, you know, the utilities are important and the railway stations are important. And, I'll be getting a lot of advice, though. Most of the Monopoly games I remember as a child ended with me or one of my brothers getting upset and tipping the board over. So I'll promise not to do that this time.
Well, that goes for the same of for a lot of us, I guess. Yeah. And utilities are important in real life or in Monopoly anyway.
That's right.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.